Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
It's a beautiful good morning. I'm Adel Kozilski, and I welcome you to the Health You, Wealth You show. Unfortunately, Feige is not with us today, but nevertheless, we are with you. Our listeners are always trying to bring some better ideas, open up your mind to living a healthier life. And we're super excited, as always, to have one of our favorite guests, and that is none other than Dr. Jack Cussell. And we are continuing on our program where Dr. Cussell teaches us the basics of medicine. Probably by the time we finish, maybe you can confer on us, doctor. maybe, you know, a basic MBBCH, if we can, going back to the basics of medicine.
I think so. And if you listen to today's program, the healthy you, wealthy you will be emphasized a million times. Because today we're going to discuss diet, how we actually exist, our main body engine, and the ancillary factors that augment that body engine. In my first talk today, I will talk about the main engine. In the same way as your car in the gas tank takes petrol, so you, to stay alive, in every cell of your body, take in three types of fuel. Delimited by the foods you eat. Those three types of fuel are carbohydrate, fat, and protein. And it's from the combustion of those fuels and the impact of the enzymes on those fuels that every single cell of your body is enabled to function normally. Without that proper combustion, nothing would happen. You wouldn't exist. The body fuel consists, as we have said, of carbohydrate, fat, and protein. And there are multiple enzyme systems that break down these foods and ultimately produce molecules of energy which keep the cell alive and enable it to function normally. Some of the most important diseases known to mankind are caused by a malfunction of this engine. The heading for it medically is metabolic disorder. To name just three of the very important conditions, of which there are hundreds and thousands, let me start first with the carbohydrate cycle and diabetes. I will discuss this in detail today, because it's unfortunately in America called the Jewish disease.
The Jewish disease. I think it's an everybody disease now. Certainly everyone has got it.
Huh? It was our appetites.
and by the way, I just wanted to add, the reason why we're discussing this today, we didn't want to make you feel bad, that the whole last month of Tishrei, we really indulged in our carbohydrates. So.
Yeah, well, it's the failure of breakdown of sugars in the carbohydrate cycle. Then we come to atheroma and atherosclerosis. Terrible words to try to understand, but in simple language, it means that clots form in your arteries, small arteries of your brain and heart, and this accounts for cerebral thrombosis and coronary thrombosis. Why these develop. And then there is, of course, protein metabolism. Protein metabolism, the third food that we take in, is relatively minor in what we're going to talk about today, because protein is not a major source of energy. It becomes a source of energy under certain circumstances, but protein is much more important in keeping us all together, our muscles, our tendons, our cartilages, our joints, our bones. Everything, if not for proper protein metabolism and the addition of the factors like calcium, zinc, iron, magnesium, and collagen, as well as the vitamins A, B, C, D, and E, which I'll all discuss in my next program, those factors keep us together. But today we talk about the disruption of the energy cycle, diabetes. This is a failure of the enzyme insulin to function effectively in regulating the breakdown of sugar in the carbohydrate pathway. It is divided into two types. Type 1 diabetes is not a common condition. It is an autoimmune condition where the body's immune system attacks the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, and as a result, your pancreas starts to produce little or no insulin. Of course, this can happen more with age. It's not common, but very easy to control, because the moment you've calculated the insulin deficiency, you can replace that insulin and the control remains stable.
Is this got a genetic component of like...
Strong genetic component.
And is it something that you find from a time a child is born, or it can develop later on in life?
You start to develop most of these conditions from the time you're born by these crazy diets that some babies are put onto, which I'll come to at the end of this program. But when you give a baby porridge three times a day and load them with carbohydrate, you set the ground for trouble later on in life. Right. That's not the way to feed a baby. But anyway, let's...
Okay.
All right. Type 2 diabetes is much more common. It is due to insulin resistance developing. Insulin resistance in pediatrics is the bane of our lives. All of us who've practiced pediatrics will know that the child with diabetes is one of the most difficult problems in pediatric medicine to manage. Because what happens here is that the insulin is produced normally, there's no deficiency of insulin, but for some reason, the insulin attaches itself like a magnet to the serum proteins of the blood, and it cannot go into the cells. And it stays there and it stays there. And all of a sudden, again, quite unexpectedly, it suddenly releases from this binding to the protein cells. And all of a sudden, where your sugar was 5 or 10 milligrams per cent, or 100, the sugar level was 100, it comes down to naught, and you go into a hypoglycemic coma, which can seriously damage you due to low sugar. So diabetes in children is an extremely difficult condition to control, and it is usually this type of diabetes. But type 2 diabetes is far more common in adults where the insulin develops resistance to several other factors. The one is genetics. You're born with a genetic predisposition. The other one is obesity. The third one is incorrect diet. The fourth one is sugar, the bane of our lives. And I will have a special thing to say about sugar when I come to it.
Okay, so if you're eating your croissant right now or having your sugary cereal, I suggest you eat it quickly. We're going to go for a bit of a break because we might be convincing you to change the way that you eat. If you want to ask any questions or you've got any comments, now's your time. You have got a incredibly well-renowned and well-educated doctor with us in-house, and he's here to take your questions. We are discussing the dietary factors and how they impact our body's ability to function. You can SMS us on 34519, or you can send a telegram to 061-895-1019.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Feige Stern.
We're talking to Dr. Jack Cussell. We're talking dietary, everything dietary, and I think it's going to take a couple of shows to get through it. We're now going to talk about the S word, and it's not the word that you think. It's the word sugar. Right.
Sugar, the dietary villain. Sugar is high in calories, but it does not make you feel full. It does exactly the reverse. Therefore, the first sign of diabetes is what's known as polyphagia. A complicated word, but all it means is excessive eating. When
So if what you say I'm polyphagic means that you just like you like eating you overeat
you
too
just
much.
stress and stress and stress. Polyphagia. High sugar intake also causes blood sugar levels in the blood to spike and subsequently crash. And when the blood sugar level in the blood spikes and insulin cannot control it, the body tries to make attempts to rid itself of the sugar via other ways. And this leads to what we've always taught the students to remember, the three P's of diabetes. Polyphagia is excessive eating, polydipsia is excessive drinking, and polyuria is excessive peeing, excessive passing of urine. And that is how it presents. Because the body makes a desperate attempt to pass the sugar out in the urine. And this is sometimes the first place where you pick it up, increased sugar levels in the urine. Excess sugar consumption itself can lead to insulin resistance. That alone, with the genetic predisposition, can lead to that. And of course, of the amount of calories you consume with sugar also leads to the obesity, and that also augments type 2 diabetes. And one fact that is not really known about sugar, but is very, very important, is that it is inflammatory in the vessels. It causes severe inflammation. And this is the kickoff, this is the starter for what you'll see later, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's disease, and in fact, some types of cancer. It's the inflammatory base in the cells.
Well, there's a whole lot of talk now today, certainly in functional medicine, right? The first thing that functional medicine doctors will check will be your fasting glucose. They don't care about your glucose. They care about your fasting glucose,
Fasting.
which is your insulin resistance. And when you hear other when you dabble in the integrative medicine space, they talk about the fact that insulin resistance is the mother of all disease. Like you're just laying a field, and you're allowing then all these things to progress, whether it is, first of all, there's inflammation, right? And I think if I dare say, and I guess we can't get shut down anymore for it, right? That a lot of the complications that we saw with COVID, okay, was because people were metabolically unhealthy in the first instance.
Had inflammatory
Correct.
foundations.
Correct.
Inflammation is the key to cardiovascular disease. Inflammation is the key to Alzheimer's. Inflammation is the key to the spread of cancer. It's the key to everything. It kicks it off. And what's more, inflammation is also the key to insulin resistance. So,
Yeah.
it's a pleasure doing this talk with Adel, because in case you don't know, my listeners, Adel has a degree in biochemistry. And at least we're talking on the same level.
No, but it's really, really an interesting thing. I remember I went to my cardiologist for a checkup just earlier this year, and he looked at all my bloods, and he said he actually, it's not that he flippantly disregards everything. He says, but there's just one measure that if it's down, then I'm not so worried about all the others, and that is how low is your high sensitivity CRP, which is a measure of your inflammation? He
Very
says you
fair.
have no inflammation. He says, okay, so your cholesterol is one, it's not four, it's five. He says you're not going to get cardiovascular disease if your
Absolutely.
inflammation marker is down. And probably one of the most important tests a person should do
It's the
is
CRP.
high sensitivity CRP, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. Now let's take the one condition first that has been linked to abnormal sugar metabolism. That's vascular health or cardiovascular or cerebral health. In diabetes, high blood sugar levels lay the ground by causing an inflammatory reaction in the blood vessels. You know, if you want to describe it to the layman, it's like when you repaint your house and you scrape the walls, you scrape off all the old paint, and then you get left with a surface over the plaster. And then you scrape that surface. And that's the surface that sugar creates for the plaque, for the clot, for the thrombosis to form. So you don't start getting your thrombosis when you start riding a bicycle at the age of 60 and you'd had your first heart attack. You start it in infancy and childhood when you lay the ground in your blood vessels with inflammatory disorders. That's where you start.
So can I have my pet peeve here? So this is, and I think I was guilty of this, you know, when I was a young mother. I certainly am far more, I don't know, should I use the word, aggressive with my grandchildren, is feeding the kids all this sugar, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And we should mention that sugar is not about taking the 2 teaspoons of Salati sugar and putting it into your coffee. It is that. But the fact of the matter is that the majority of food has the ingredient sugar. So your sugar consumption every single day is disproportionate to the amount that your body can have. And it starts with your kids. So when you are allowing your kids to eat, sugary foods and cereals and sweets and refined, all of that, that's when it starts. It's not, it's at 60, you're already, you've lost, it's a fait accompli.
It's all there. It's a fait accompli. So that is what we both agree on. Now, as this further increases the risk of atheroma, atherosclerosis, which is the buildup of plaque in the arteries, mainly of the heart and brain. The plaque then becomes a fertile ground for certain types of cholesterol and fat to accumulate in the arterial walls, ultimately leading to occlusion of these vessels and death. It is interesting to note that current medical opinion holds that thrombosis in vessels, the serious conditions of coronary thrombosis and cerebral thrombosis, will not occur unless there is overt or covert disturbance of carbohydrate metabolism. In other words, overt or covert diabetes. So the diabetes may not be apparent. It may not have appeared yet, but it'll be covert. It'll be high in your tests showing that you are developing insulin resistance.
The next time you go to your doctor, ask him to do an
HbA1c.
Awesome. Well, let's just explain to people all of these things because I had to educate myself. The HbA1c blood test actually measures the level of the sugar in your blood over a 3-month average, which is much better than if you just go to the doctor and just run a glucose today. Maybe today, I don't know, yesterday you fasted and, you know, so there isn't any sugar running around as much as taking an average. So the HbA1c blood test is vital and an insulin resistance blood test is vital. And you know something interesting? Medical aid does not pay for insulin resistance testing. They'll pay for glucose, but they won't pay for insulin resistance when that is the fundamental marker to say you're on the wrong train track and you need to, you know, you need to pull back.
But don't think it's only us that are backward. Mm-hmm. I had a patient from London, perhaps I shouldn't be mentioning this over here, that had a heart attack, had stents put into his arteries and everything else, and then asked me what I thought of his tests. When I looked at the tests, he was done by one of the most prominent cardiologists in London. But what was missing? An HbA1c. They said he didn't have diabetes, but he did have diabetes when we tested it over here. He had covert diabetes.
We've got one or two comments from listeners. One listener says, what is the doctor's opinion on fruits? Right, so we're saying stay away from refined sugar and all the sugar hidden in processed food. What is the opinion on fruit and how much can one eat safely?
Well, safely, you could eat anything as long as you know what the components are of the particular food. We'll deal with this in our second talk. But your refined sugars and your processed sugars, For instance, when we get our cold drinks and our drinks, it says sugar added, sweeteners added. Those are dangerous. They are very, very dangerous, drinking that sort of fruit drink. But if you have an ordinary blueberry or a strawberry or a nut, that's not going to do you any harm, even though it may contain sugar.
Look, there is, I think there is, again, I'm actually your patient here, because my genetic makeup is that I do have a disposition for cardiac and for diabetes. That's what runs in my family. So that's why I speak so forcefully about it, because I've had to learn, unfortunately, some things, like, I wish I'd known things better. Just in terms of fruit, different fruits have different glycemic indexes. So obviously,
Definitely.
eating a mango has got a lot more fruit, or a watermelon, than a berry. So
Absolutely.
if you are a big fruit eater, you should try go down the glycemic index thing and eat anything that ends in berry, gooseberries,
Berries
blueberries,
are perfect.
strawberries. All of those are fruits that can satisfy you and that aren't really, really, really high. But just to eat like five helpings of fruit every single day that are high, and if you have a disposition or you are in insulin resistance, is not necessarily a good idea.
But what we're going to do in one of our next talks is actually list the foods that are so harmful.
Right.
Right.
Okay, let's
So
continue.
that deals with the cardiovascular aspect. Let's get to Alzheimer's disease. This is a condition affecting the brain, and it's definitely not of sudden onset. You start developing your Alzheimer's probably from about the age of 50 or 40 or 50 years onwards, and then finally break through at 60, 70, or 80 years of age. It primarily commences with disturbed carbohydrate metabolism in the brain cells due to insulin resistance. Sucrose cannot be broken down normally in your brain. And sucrose is a disaccharide sugar. What is it comprised of? Glucose and fructose. But they have nowhere to go. The insulin doesn't act properly. So the fructose accumulates in the brain tissue. And it's been shown that an even more highly irritative substance than sugar itself is fructose accumulation in the brain, which leads, you've guessed it, to inflammation and irritation, which is chronic in your brain for years and years and years. And eventually, this inflammation and irritation leads to the unfolding of certain proteins in your brain and the creation of a substance called amyloid. This amyloid, if you want to look at it from a layperson's point of view, is the same as substances accumulating on your battery terminals in your car due to the age of the battery. They accumulate on the battery terminals, and eventually the battery goes dud. It doesn't function anymore. Well, the same happens to your brain. Your brain is an electrical network. It consists of millions and millions of neuronal fibers that have transistors transmitting the electrical current. And what does amyloid do, the amyloid plaque? It settles itself around the neuronal transmitters. It accumulates there. And these are the electrical wires, these are electrical terminals and wires of the brain. As a result, electrical currents in the brain start to be blocked off. When that happens, the brain cell dies. And the first signs of Alzheimer's on MRI are that the brain starts shrinking. And when it starts affecting vital areas of the brain, obviously you become unresponsive, you lack cognitive ability, you forget what world you're living in, and all these signs. But again, we step in too late. We step in at 70 or 80 years of age when a person is sitting in a chair, unresponsive and not able to ask questions. The time to step in is at 40 or 50 years of age, when we'll start to develop and the signs start to appear. Poor memory for recent events, excellent memory for past events, That's the first thing. Loss of cognitive ability. And the shrewd person can spot it. The shrewd GP will spot early Alzheimer's. And closely linked to Alzheimer's, and I don't believe they're different, is senile psychosis and senile dementia. They just hit different areas of the brain, different areas of the electrical pathway. But it's closely, not closely related, is related to abnormal sugar metabolism, which poisons the brain tissues with inflammation. And that creates the ground for amyloid plaque.
Well, we're going to go now on to another topic, and that's fats. And to introduce it, I want to say two things. We've got another comment from a listener that says, this is very tongue-in-cheek, but surely aren't the four food groups salt, sugar, fat, and alcohol? So I think the sugar and the alcohol, and the salt, fat, it depends which fat, because I think that, again, in the integrative space, medicine
Alcohol
space.
is deadly for certain types of fat. We're coming to it.
And also, when we're going to get to it now with fats, one of the things that they're picking up now that the incidence of Alzheimer's has increased because of people getting statins and then cutting off the essential fats to your brain. So let's talk about fats, because fats has had a bad rap, eh?
This is very exciting because we're coming to statins, we're coming to
Okay, let's
cholesterol.
go.
We better go quickly.
No, don't go quickly. I'm having a lot of fun. If you have a question or you want to comment, you can, disagree, agree. We're here to debate all
Well,
of
the
these things.
statement fat is burnt in the flame of carbohydrate, not a man called Krebs, the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1952. He showed that you metabolize your fats in conjunction with carbohydrate in order to produce energy in the cell.
The
And
Krebs cycle, right?
that cycle. This explains simply that the disturbance of glucose metabolism and the impact of abnormal fat metabolism are the key factors in explaining thrombosis and strokes. If normal fat does not enter and combine with the normal breakdown of carbohydrate metabolism, and energy production will be seriously affected.
Right, we need to go for a quick break. If you want to join the conversation, 34519. Our telegram is 061-895-1019.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kazilski and Feige Stern.
We're talking about how diet influences our very well-being. In fact, it is the foundation. We're going to continue talking about the place that fats has in our lives. Just wanted to reply to another listener that says, I tend to eat a lot of pears and bananas on a day, almost no bread except for Shabbos. Are these high sugar, and can high sugar cause high urination? Absolutely, high sugar can cause high urination, and it is a sign that you are pre-diabetic. If you are going to be eating, it is much better, and we will get to it, to combine a protein and a fat that will keep your blood sugar more stable than sitting and eating just sugar foods
The
like
so-called keto diet, which I'm
correct,
going to
which we're going to
discuss.
discuss. But that's in answer to you. Let's go to understanding cholesterol now.
All right. Fats are mainly made up of cholesterol and triglycerides. Cholesterol fats are made up of two types, and there is good cholesterol and there is bad cholesterol. They're given names, LDL cholesterol and HDL cholesterol. The LDL cholesterol is a low-density lipoprotein. It's a bad cholesterol because it leads directly to the buildup of plaque in the already primed arteries, primed by the glucose. The factors raising the LDL cholesterol are the saturated fats, the trans fats in processed foods, fatty meats, and full-fat dairy products. That's where you start the whole problem off with your LDL cholesterol. The HDL cholesterol, the high-density lipoprotein, on the other hand, is a good cholesterol. Its prime function is to remove LDL cholesterol from the blood, prevent plaque, and promote cardiovascular health. Factors which promote raised HDL cholesterol are raised monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats found in olive oil, nuts, salmon, flax seeds, and walnuts, as well as in omega-3. So if you want to do yourself a favor, get through to Faggy at Chai FM and get a list of these foods that should be on your fridge and all over your kitchen, so that you don't touch either the ones that could cause bad cholesterol, and try and have the ones that cause good cholesterol, and you'll do yourself a big favor. What are the triglyceride fats? These fats can be elevated in the blood as a result of eating sugary foods, plain eating sugary foods, refined carbohydrates, what we spoke about in all our cheap drinks that we get, and with sugars added, and of course, alcohol. Alcohol is a prime cause of these fats becoming elevated in the blood when you eat sugary foods, as well as obesity, lack of physical activity, and a sedentary lifestyle. It's also genetically determined, major contributory factor to high triglyceride production. High triglycerides can directly form fatty deposits and plaques in the arteries, which facilitate the development of thrombosis. High triglycerides, unfortunately, cannot be managed through anything except diet and exercise. But we come to something that can be managed, the statins. The statins have played a major role in the prevention of treatment of cardiovascular disease and cerebral thrombosis. The first statin was discovered in a fungus, and since then, many synthetic statins have been developed. The main action of the statins is very simply to inhibit the liver from producing LDL or bad cholesterol, thereby reducing the risk of coronary and cerebral thrombosis. But unfortunately, the statins come with a price, side effects. They affect liver and muscle as well, and can cause muscle pain, liver damage, tummy aches, and raise the blood sugar themselves to cause type 2 diabetes. So, even though it's now the vogue for everybody to take statins, remember that statins are not without their side effects, and your doctor, your physician, has to determine the need for statins.
I have to add in something here. It's going to be controversial, doctor. And I say it with a lot of respect. There is a lot of turning up and around the statins. Because statins is doing what it's doing, they are reducing the fat in the brain, and they're saying that it is very much connected now with Alzheimer's,
Yes.
that it's not the LDL. While LDL has been called the bad cholesterol, it's not necessarily bad. Okay, what is bad is the triglycerides. And if you have low triglycerides, but you have a high LDL, again, and this I'm quoting my cardiologist, and this is new stuff that's come out now recently in the last couple of years, you're okay. And I can tell you from myself personally, again, as I said, I am like the prototype of a person whose genetic predisposition is with diabetes and cardiovascular, that if they tried to bring down my LDL, I actually started losing my memory. I would look at you and not remember your name. I would look somewhere and not remember where I'm going. I need high LDL. I'm not, though, I'm very focused on making sure that my triglycerides are kept low. And they're saying that healthy, the LDL actually gives a protective measure on the brain. So again, speak to your GP. We're not dispensing medical advice here. We're just opening your mind to certain ideas. But there is a lot of talk now around that statins don't stop cardiovascular disease. It's the triglycerides and the apolipoproteins that are found in your blood that actually cause it. But anyway, that's just another idea. We're going to go for a little bit of a break and then just talk quickly about protein metabolism.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Feige Stern.
Hey, we're going to wrap it up because we spoke about sugars, which, please, this S word should be taken out of your diet. We've spoken about the F word and fats. There's good fats, olive oils, nuts. All of those things are good fats. The unhealthy fats, the polysaturated stuff you need to take out of your diet. The last major component, we're going to just touch on it lightly, and then in our next talk, we'll talk about the different diets and foods, and that is protein metabolism.
Well, protein metabolism is not important in the context of what we're saying today, because protein only acts in a minor fashion as compared to carbohydrate and fat in the metabolism of the cell. It plays a role, but not a prominent role. Where protein plays a very important part is, unfortunately, in the cancer cell, because in the cancer cell, protein metabolism becomes very disturbed when a cell becomes abnormal. The classic condition implicated today is the spread of cancerous malignant cells. That cell rearranges its metabolism to produce energy by slowly breaking down carbohydrate in an extremely accelerated fashion. As this happens, the cell proliferates wildly, it metastasizes, it spreads, trying to bring itself back to normality. Eventually, the cell cannot sustain this level of energy production and dies, leading to the growth and spreading of the tumor. Protein then tries to make up the leeway, but cannot do so. This leads to the burning of muscle tissue and all other tissues that are implicated in protein metabolism, and the wasting and weight loss that occur in the unfortunate cancer sufferer. This is where medical research still needs to realign itself as to why the cancer cell, in the end, abandons its normal ways of making energy.
And to end with that, to add that they've also found again in the integrative medicines field that once a cell does go rogue, a cancerous cell goes rogue, the way that you feed it is by giving it sugar.
Yes.
One of the most important things with people who are suffering from cancer or to stay off sugar. Make sure that you're in an aerobic state, not an anaerobic. Make sure you're off all the sugars because that retards the fuel that gives the cancer cells the ability to multiply.
Absolutely correct.
There you go. Okay, we've had a very, very interesting conversation. Thank you, Dr. Castle. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. I can talk about this all day long.
My favorite too. And I'd just like to mention a book that I first read that inspired me to study the subject. It was a book called Man Alive, You're Half Dead. I couldn't remember the author, so I tried what everybody raves about today, AI. So AI is only good if you know what you're asking AI. It's got to educate you. It helps to tell you you're educated correctly. That's the ability of AI. So I asked AI the question, can you tell me the author of Man Alive, You're Half Dead? And AI said, it's a lady called L.J. James. I think it is her. That's what AI said.
There you go. No, it's a book.
Because she's a crime author. She writes crime thrillers. So I say it with tongue-in-cheek. The name may be wrong, but the book is correct.
No, the book, I've just done it. I've just looked up AI. Man Alive, You're Half Dead was written by Daniel C. Munro.
Yeah.
The doctor tells how to have glowing health
and
stay there.
So there you are. AI has failed.
All right, AI has failed. Google worked out well. Okay, everybody have a wonderful week ahead. Stay healthy. Start cutting off your sugar. Stop becoming vigilant about what you're putting in your mouth because you are preparing the ground either for robust, vibrant health or the opposite. Thank you for joining us. This is 101.9 High FM.